You're listening to Carmen and Yurko, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio
on WMVP, WSAT HD2, Chicago.
This is ESPN 1000, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
What's up? Welcome in to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and on the ESPN Chicago app. That same ESPN Chicago app in which you could find Good Karma Wrestling. Who's a WWE fan? Who's an AEW fan? I got you covered with Good Karma Wrestling. As a matter of fact, our show airs at 6 o'clock every Thursday at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. Just go, if you follow ESPN 1000 on Twitter, you'll be able to watch the show I do with Brian, Gabe, and me. We are able to do Good Karma Wrestling. So if you're into it or if you know of someone into it, check out Good Karma Wrestling at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. And if you don't catch it, make sure you check out the ESPN Chicago app because that's where the podcast is for Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Jay Hood in for Carmen and Yurko. The guys were on earlier today doing 7 to 10, doing the show that Cap and I do every morning from 7 to 10. So if you missed that show, go check out the podcast. It's right there. 3 hours of fun with the guys, and I'm in for Carmen and Yurko. And then coming up in an hour from now, I'll be cross-talking with Waddle and Sylvie right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about the Bears. And the reason why is because training camps are going to be opening up right around the corner, and I just want to get your thoughts on what concerns you most about the Bears. And it doesn't have to be a negative as much as it is just a question mark. That's how I'm looking at it now. I can't tell you that this sucks on July 21st. What I can tell you is there's question marks all over this depth chart in front of me. I can tell you that. And so as a Bears fan, I want to know what concerns you. Number one for most people will be Justin Fields. But here's what I like. Just based on the first hour and some of the reaction on social, it's not necessarily about what he can't do. There's some of that, what he can't do. But also it's about who's coaching him, what weapons he has. It's an umbrella of so many different things when it comes to this offense. You and I know a good offense when we see one. The last thing you want is to go to your man cave, your she shed, your bar, the spot that you watch the Bears, or even going to the games, and you sit down ready to watch Bears football, and you see the other team just pounding the Bears offensively and looking so, just so productive offensively. And then the Bears are just running the football, can't connect to Komet, can't connect to Mooney, you know, three and outs, interceptions. I mean, we've seen this for so long. It's just time to have someone dynamic under center that can be able to move this offense the right way. It's more than just Fields moving around the pocket. I do like that. I do like the autonomy of him being able to move around the pocket. But also, it's about being able to have an offense that matters. So let's get your thoughts here. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number on the Bears. Still to come, I want to talk to you about Zach LaVine, James Harden, and the NBA. McKnight, the movie's coming up at 1:35. What's up, Twitch? Hope you guys are well. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thank you for keeping the conversation going. You always are chiming in with our topics and even some new stuff to talk about as well on Twitch. That's where you can watch the show. All right, let's go back to the phone lines to talk to you. In West Michigan, here's Will as we talk Bears here on ESPN 1000. Hi, Will.
Hey, Jay Hood. First of all, I want to say I love your the Good Karma Wrestling podcast. I love that. I listen every week.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
And my worry with the Bears here is I listen to you every morning. I kind of feel like I should have coffee right now because it's weird hearing your voice and not having coffee.
Right. But, it is strange. Right?
I was thinking it felt good. It is. It's really strange. It's like Pavlov. It's just like . But I wanted to say it. I'm afraid I'm bracing myself for a tough year. So I'm afraid that they're going to outperform, end up going like 8-9, and then have a mediocre draft pick. You know, it's kind of like, oh man. I mean, I don't want them to be horrible, but I would love to have some really good draft capital and some high picks.
So, you're thinking that and I think the win total is 6.5. Do you think they're going to go over 6.5?
I think they will, only because I want them to get a horrible or a great draft pick. And the only way you can screw that up is by winning. So the Bears will shoot themselves in the foot, in my eyes, and win too many games to get a great draft pick.
Well, let me just tell you, that's really difficult, I think, for any team that's trying to build. If the Bears do win more than 7 games, now it's uh-oh time. You do have money for a salary cap to be able to get the type of players that you want. You want to fill in your defensive backfield, or actually your secondary, I should say. You want to take care of your secondary? Do you want to take care of your defensive line? Do you need to take care of your offensive line? If you need to upgrade there, do you need another weapon as far as a wide receiver or tight end? They do have the money to be able to upgrade some of those positions. However, I think that when you are bereft of quality talent on both sides of football, you want to build through the draft as much as possible. And let me just tell you, if no one's told you this, let me be the first to tell you. If the Velus Jones pick does not work out, I am going to hit the ceiling. Seriously, in a wide receiver rich draft, you took someone in Velus Jones, and you know I'm an SEC fan, so I saw him at Tennessee. And I'm not being ageist and saying he's too old to play the position, but all I'm telling you is this. From a skill position standpoint, if he's not paying dividends for the Bears at wide receiver, especially right off here, I'm going to have a major problem with it, because you could have been able to address that earlier in the draft, because through the first couple of rounds, there are terrific wide receivers that you and I have seen in college. If Velus Jones is just a special teams guy, and not a wide receiver that's making a difference, that's going to be a major problem for me, especially at the place where they drafted him.
Yeah, for me, it was one of those things that when you're drafting a wide receiver that high, you want his best skill set to be playing the position mm-hmm. that you're drafting him for, where you're right, he's a special teams expert and a specialist. And you know that, like, when you see in college football, you'll see a guy on the roster, and instead of having a position, he'll just be specialist or, quote, playmaker. Mm-hmm. Feels like Florida. Each and every year, Florida has four or five, quote, playmakers or specialists. But then they can't run the routes. They can't do anything. So, like, the concern with Jones is that when he gets here with the Bears, sure, he may be good in a jet sweep motion. But can he go out and catch a pass on third and long when you need to move the chains? And I think that should be the concern for all Bears fans is, like, yeah, okay, the age thing, a little questionable. All right. But also, if your number one skill set is being the punt returner and you're a guy that was drafted that high to be a wide receiver, we need to see your ability to catch the football in traffic and to move the chains.
Brother, if you drafted Cordarrelle Patterson,
sure,
then I'm going to have a problem.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now Patterson now is an excellent player, but also he's a, quote, athlete, playmaker type of guy. He's not a number one wide receiver. He's not a number two wide receiver. In fact, at most times, the Falcons used him as a running back last season.
When you struggle, you use a guy that says, okay, his label is not wide receiver. It's not special. It's athlete.
Yeah, right. And you know what I'm talking about. When you watch college football, it's like Florida always has the, quote, playmaker player, but they don't have that stud wide receiver to move the chains when it's third and long.
Shout out to Devin Hester. We go to the south side. Here's Jimmy on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jim.
My concern, of course, is the roster, and that our head coach was a defensive coordinator of the Indianapolis Colts, who all they had to do was win one of their last two games to make it to the playoffs, and the final game was against the vaunted Jacksonville Jaguars offense, and they got steamrolled. That's my concern. You got one game to get into the playoffs. You're the defensive coordinator. You're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you couldn't game plan that game to get into the playoffs, I'm a little concerned about you being selected as our head coach.
You want to fire Jimmy?
No, I'm just saying that's my concern.
But I think if you're the first one that says I want him out, that'd be good.
Right.
Because you'd be the first
my
one.
My manhood. Love you, brother.
You should say it. Say it now. I want him out.
But listen, I'm not trying to be an Eberflus apologist, but wasn't in that game, weren't all the scoring drives by the Jaguars, didn't they start on the 20-yard line?
Yes.
Because there were horrible turnovers in that
Wentz
game.
Wentz was turning it over left and right.
Yes. Yeah, and so all of the, like, yeah, of course you're going to lose that game because you're in a situation where you have, like, 20 to go, and you're going to score on those possessions. So I don't know how much that is on Eberflus and more on the offense of that game.
I guess Jimmy is leaning toward the result and saying, boy, the result is you lost to them.
Yeah.
And he happened to be on the staff at the time.
Yeah, but did you watch the Colts game?
Matt Nagy's in Kansas City. Or is he with us today? Some thoughts now from polls talking about Eberflus. Eberflus having an impact on the offensive side of the ball. Listen.
Yeah, he can help a lot. And, you know, he's been – the cool thing is seeing him bounce to different meeting rooms throughout the day when our team is together. And he'll spend a lot of time on the offense. of size as well. And just giving that perspective from a defense coordinator, what are they looking at in certain down and distances? Why are they doing certain things? So he can understand from the other side, which is important to him. And, you know, actually, I thought he was doing quarterback drills the other day. I thought that was pretty cool.
West Side Zach on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 with Jay Hood. What's up, Zach?
What it do, what it does, fellas. Thank you for taking my call.
What's cracking?
Man, you know, I'm getting Lovie Smith vibes, and I'm going to tell you why.
Cool.
He's a hot defensive coordinator coming from, St. Louis. And, you know, we had Rex Grossman. Quarterback crew was shoddy. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a young Greg Olsen. What I told the producer is that I want to see Cole Kmet take that next step. Like, if Cole Kmet can take that next step, you know, and really become a premier tight end in the league where he was drafted, you know, David Montgomery is going to be better. That offensive line, you know, can do a little bit. You know, everybody got to take another step. You know what I mean? But I think Cole Kmet, where he was drafted, is kind of like he's hitting. You know, just like every there's other glaring needs in the offense, but he's hitting in terms of where he is in the offense. And so it's just one of those things where I just want to see him take that next step. If he takes that next step, then you open up the middle of the offense. Mm-hmm. You can split him out with the wide receivers. Like, he's, you know, he came from Notre Dame, and he had that height. And so we know what we have in our running game. You know, we don't know what we have in our offensive line, and we don't really know what we have in our receivers, but I think that tight end position will open it up. I'm not really concerned about Matt Eberflus and his defense, you know, because if you teach right principles and you teach those principles, you're going to stop some offenses from scoring. But that offense, we have to have Cole Kmet and the rest of the tight ends really step their game up to provide that security blanket. Like you talk about third and five, third and seven. He needs to catch those passes. Not really Mooney, not really the other receivers. We need the tight ends to really keep those drives moving. And if we get that, I'm telling you, you know, this is really going to open up for this offense. I don't see us being the bottom of the barrel like a lot of the publications are saying. But, you know, guys got to step up, and I'm really putting my money on that tight end group. Thank you guys for taking my call.
All right, Zach, thank you very much. He is on Eberflus. He believes that the thing will turn around for the Bears sooner than later. Coming up next, some thoughts about James Harden and his new deal. How does that relate to the Bulls? We'll talk about that coming up next. It's Jay Hood on Carmen and Yurko.
Working from home or back in the office? Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Midnight in the Movies comes your way at 1:35 right here on Carmen and Yurko. I'm Jay Hood. What the bleep is Jay Hood doing on? Well, I'm switched with Carmen and Yurko, so Yurko could play golf today, and so here I am. A couple of hours of sleep, a little extra sleep. Didn't have to hit that 4:05 wake-up call this morning. Ah, a little couple of hours, Chris, felt good.
I could get you a deal breaker. So I've got this friend who was walking down the street.
Please.
And an ex-girlfriend
Please.
From your roommate No. calls and says, do you want to smash?
No.
It's going to get hot and heavy.
No.
Is
No.
this a deal breaker? Do you want to smash?
No.
It's going to get hot and heavy on the street. You'll
Okay.
be in the gutter.
No, Chris.
You'll be in the street.
Chris.
Hot and heavy smashing.
No.
Is that a deal breaker
Okay.
for you?
Okay, let's not do that. I'm on vacation from...
Do you want me to make you feel at home? Love you, buddy.
No.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you.
John.
No, I'm good.
Thank you, John.
No, I'm good. I'm just, please, guys, let me just relax here in the golden hammock. That is 12 to 2.
You know what happens on Friday? Boom. Show ends.
Yeah.
Hour and a half later, my wife and I on the lake. Love you, buddy.
Thank you. Love you. Thank you. Love you. All right. So, Jonathan, I'm on a CTA bus, and the little old lady next to me, she's about 75. She's sitting there with her groceries, and I look over, and she pulls out a cucumber out of the bag, and she goes, you want to get hot and heavy here on the CTA bus and smash?
Okay.
The bus driver turns around and goes, can I join? And all of a sudden, I say, I don't know. Is this a deal breaker? Jonathan, what do you think? Shot or no shot?
James Harden signs a two-year, $68.6 million deal with Philadelphia. I mean, I can't help that they hired someone with odd sexual proclivities. I mean, what do you? I mean, I just host here. I mean, I didn't know snorling was into smashing. I mean, I didn't
hot
know
and heavy smashing.
I understand
man.
That. It's hot and heavy smashing. By the way, every morning between 7 and 10 here on ESPN 1000. I mean, it's amazing.
The hot and heavy smash.
Yes, smashing.
Smash o'clock.
Yes. So there you have that. Nonetheless, we turn the page now as I continue just to relax here. I mean, I got no. Shot or no shot, I've got no take that. I've got no smashing. All I'm just trying to do is enjoy the show, if that's okay.
Can I just enjoy the show? You want a cap cut?
Can I just enjoy the show?
Do you want a cap cut?
I'm not listening to you guys.
Can I get you a cap cut?
We go now, brought to you by Chicago Cut, by the way, a partner with us here at ESPN 1000. Hear that silence? That's how you stop that. James Harden, a two-year, $68.6 billion contract. So... the deal guarantees, you see that? Hear that silence? As soon as he said partner, whoop, whoop.
Love Chicago Cut.
Yeah, no.
They've got great cap cuts.
See what happens? Boom. See that? That's how you do that. Just like a parent. I will turn this show around and go home. The deal is guaranteed a $33 million extension for James Harden next year and the opportunity to decline at $35.6 million a year. So here's what I'm looking at. A two-year deal for James Harden for Philly. $68.6 million. Now, you don't know if James Harden is going to wake up one day and say, man, I don't want to be here anymore. Because that happens in the NBA a lot, right? No matter if you have a contract or not, if you feel like you're not in the right situation, depending on the side of the bed that you get up on, a guy will want to leave. Like Kevin Durant, who is interested in getting out of Brooklyn. Looks like that's not happening. Or Kyrie Irving looking to go to Los Angeles. That might not happen either. But I look at James Harden in the same prism I look at the Bulls and Zach LaVine. And here's the parallel I'm going to make with this. So here's James Harden. He's going to be with Joel Embiid at least for the next couple of seasons, as we just told you. But what about the Bulls, right? So I look at it like this. So the Bulls took a step last year by actually getting into the playoffs. I think some Bulls fans, and I won't say that's you, but I think there are some Bulls fans that are just confused about what the Bulls used to be and what the Bulls are now. I know that there was a lot of complaints in the offseason that the Bulls did not go over the top and get a whole bunch of different free agents to be able to change the fortunes of the Bulls this upcoming season. Meaning, how come you weren't in to try to get a deal with Donovan Mitchell? Or how come you couldn't get this guy or that guy? It's amazing how Bulls fans have just forgotten just that quickly how bad this organization once was. When it comes to Gar Foreman and John Paxson, those two would talk about, we don't know. They do these Butch Seelig shrug. We don't know how come we don't get free agents. We don't know how come we're not getting difference-making players on this Bulls team. We don't know why we're always in the lottery. Well, the reason why is because they did not run the organization properly enough to be able to get to the mountaintop. You can blame LeBron because he was so good with Cleveland. Also, you can blame the Bulls for not being able to do the due diligence to build this team post Derrick Rose. So I look at James Harden as saying, okay, Harden and Embiid will be there again as a 1-2 punch with Philadelphia. But then what about the Bulls? They were the sixth seed. Bulls fans, have you forgotten what it was like to always be in the lottery, to be an afterthought in the league, to be the laughingstock of the league? The building that Jordan built, the home of Michael Jordan and the Bulls, were just an afterthought. You know, post Tom Thibodeau and post Derrick Rose, this team wasn't even talked about. Like, oh, Chicago for free agency? No, they'll go someplace else. Smaller markets. Because the organization was not run properly. Karnaschovas and Eversley are building something for the future. And that's Zach LaVine. It's interesting. And this is just based on, you know, when Bleck and I do a podcast and we get social media reaction or just some of the calls that I've heard over the last month, where some of you are lukewarm when it comes to Zach LaVine. And I find that fascinating because Zach LaVine was scoring and getting buckets when the team wasn't good. The team is good now, and you're not sure whether or not he can be the guy that can lead the team to pass the first round. I think he can. I think the Bulls can be better than the first round and out. The competition that the Bulls will have to face is Philadelphia, who I just talked about with James Harden with a two-year deal, with Milwaukee, who has won the NBA championship before, Miami Heat, who's been in the finals against the Lakers in the bubble, Boston, who just was in the finals against Golden State, And then you wonder about what Brooklyn is. And I don't know what that is when the season starts. Is that KD and Kyrie coexisting? Is that team even going to be good? I have no idea. Atlanta Hawks will be better. Toronto's always going to be solid. But here's the bottom line. We saw a really solid season for the Bulls. There's some things we found out, but some things I think were positive. The things we found out, I'll start there. We know that the Bulls had a hard time against upper echelon teams, which tells you that there's layers to this. There's layers to this, where the Bulls are good, but not as good as Golden State, and not as good as Phoenix, and not as good against Milwaukee, clearly, right? There's layers to this. So how can they break through the ceiling? Well, that is, to me, seasoning. That means that LaVine has to stay healthy. That means that the team has to be able to go to another step and finding that some three-point shooting, which I still question on this roster as we sit here today. But health is going to be a big factor for this team, for most teams, but the Bulls in particular, because they finished with 46 wins, 46 and 36, and they were the sixth seed in the East. But they did that, man, with LaVine having COVID two or three times and injuries to Lonzo Ball and injury twice to Caruso. It was difficult. But my point is that for this team coming up, for this Bulls team, things have to get better as far as health. And it's got to be able to identify these scorers, the shooters from three-point range. That means, does Terry take a big step as a rookie? Does Io take a step? Kobe White, check the website there, Chris. I think Kobe White's still on this roster. Wait a minute. I thought he's supposed to be gone here, and he's still on this roster. We know that he is a streaky shooter. But I look at James Harden, not in fear, but to say, okay, here's what the rosters look like. What can the Bulls do about it? So we talk about this on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Jay Hood in for the guys. So some thoughts from Zach LaVine. A number of things. One that I'm concerned with is his health. How's the knee?
Yeah, no, I feel great. Just had a run-of-the-mill knee scope. Going there, clean some stuff out. I feel way better. I've been rehabbing, working out, playing, lifting, doing all the good stuff and boring stuff too. You know, you have to start slow like always, but it's been good, and I feel really good. And you know, over the next 2 months, you know, getting back into the season, obviously, I feel like I'm gonna be even better.
So he believes that the knee's gonna be better, but you know what I'm also concerned with when it comes to health, besides Zach LaVine's knee, what's up with Lonzo Ball? Any word? Chris, you seen anything online? Anything on Twitter? I mean, Lonzo Ball's will be working out at the Ball compound with his dad and his trainers in Los Angeles. But the last thing we heard, and that came from the Summer League, Carter Chauvis was interviewed, he said something along the lines of, we thought that the rehab would be further along by now, and there's concern. It's July, and we still don't know. Now, again, it's a long way away from getting to the NBA season. But Lonzo Ball is vital, I think, for this Bulls' success. It's one thing to talk about the development of Patrick Williams and what he's going to be. I mean, I have no idea. If his ceiling is Jimmy Butler, that'd be awesome. If his ceiling is Kawhi Leonard, that's even more awesome. But I don't know what he's going to be. I know what he could be, but I have no idea what he's going to be. The same thing with DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan is the oldest player on this Bulls team. And so as good as he was, an MVP candidate early in the season, I don't know how many good years he has left. I'm not saying that he won't be effective, but don't think that he's going to be the savior as he was at times last year on a regular basis. Others have to step up. DeMar DeRozan played way over his head this last year in a good way for this Bulls team to keep them in ball games. So and Vucevic is another conversation. Vucevic should have been able to shoot better from three, but I still believe in his ability to score 20 and 10 or more every night as a guy that is what I would consider like a stretch center. Guy can knock down threes. He can be able to go to the basket. He can do a lot of things athletically for this Bulls team, but he can shoot the ball from three a lot better. And so I guess my question is, so what's up with Lonzo Ball? And then can the Bulls be better than the sixth seed coming up this season? That's the hope, at least, right? I look at the Celtics, and they were able to get to the finals, and that's great. But when will the Bulls make their step up? James Harden is signed. That's one move that's locked in for the 76ers. Now what about this Bulls team? 46 and 36, 50 or more wins this upcoming season? Time will tell. Coming up, McKnight at the Movies, it's Jay Hood on Carmen and Yurko.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. McKnight at the Movies. Connor McKnight recreates classic cinema on Carmen and Yurko. Only on ESPN Chicago.
Yurko on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad that you're aboard here. That same ESPN Chicago app where you can catch not one but two golf shows, one hosted by our guys Cronin and Aki. Check it out on the ESPN Chicago app, a little golf show. They do it on the weekends, but if you miss it on the weekends, you got a tee time, check it out. To straighten out your golf swing, go to the ESPN Chicago app. Glad you're in here on this Thursday afternoon. We will crosstalk with Wallen Sylvie at 2, Bleck and Abdallah at 6, Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8, all part of the mix right here on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. It's now time for McKnight at the Movies, as brought to you by the Village of Elmwood Park. All right, so we turn now to Connor McKnight, and we'll have his description of the movie for McKnight at the Movies.
Here's clue number one.
Our scene opens on a group in uniform, one man speaking to the rest, drawing their attention. It looks to be a bit of a struggle. Feels like this is a job he's just now taking the reins of, despite having been asked to do so for some time. He's talking strategy. It's intense. He's intense. The others range from intimidated to nonplussed, the actual definition of nonplussed, too, not the made-up one. What started as a strategy session from this leader is now turning into more of a heartfelt conversation. It feels somewhat forced, but to this group, again, long overdue.
All right. Very wordy, but I think I'm getting the hint. Okay, well, here's clue number two from McKnight.
A bit on our actors. The man on the middle is a Hollywood who's who. He's got two statues, three other nominations. This movie hit right in the middle of his prime, but he's still one of the biggest names in showbiz. The others in this movie include another Oscar winner with a good late 80s, early 90s run, one of the biggest international pop stars of all time, an Emmy winner with a presidential feud, and the other Cusack.
Richard Pryor. Nope, not him. All right, let's try.
It looks like Twitch chat does not have the answer yet either.
Felt like that last one.
It should give it away.
Gave it away.
There's something in the middle of that last clue that should be obvious, but
yes.
I don't see it on the Twitch chat. Usually the Twitchers get it really quickly.
The middle to the end, I thought I was able to get it. But okay, how about clue number three?
Back to our scene. This leader figure has asked the others to gather around. They're stunned by the gesture. It's a struggle for this youngish-looking man to get down to a knee, but everybody else, athletes, by the look of it, move quickly. In a very earnest but crass way, this man begins to lead the team in prayer. He leads in the only way he knows how. As this unconventional prayer wraps up, the women put their hands in the middle. They're all in for this championship game in a historic season, truly one of a kind.
Man, okay. I'm not going to spoil it, but I think I got it now. All right, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. The winner will win a gift card to Experience.
Probably a brunch place, I would guess.
It's not how it's spelled here.
EGG.
Nope.
Eggs.
It's not what I have here.
Nope. Just Experience.
Yep. They're gonna, I have EX.
Well played, Abdallah.
I got EX.
I deduced that it was a brunch place.
Well, I don't know where you eat at Experience. I don't know where you're talking about. I'm not sure where Experience is, but that's where you go. You can win a gift card to Experience. It's our way of saying thanks for listening to Carmen Yurko from 12 to 2 here in the Golden Hammock. I think we have a winner here. Nick from Edgebrook. Nick, who's the winner? Who is it?
A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own! Yes! You're a winner.
Thank you very much.
What station just hooked you up with a gift card to Experience?
ESPN 1000.
All right, hold on a second. I'm always concerned about that. It's good to hear from Nick in space, apparently. As we get
it's
Nick.
It's my favorite radio thing.
Yes.
What station just hooked you up?
Pretty good, right? It's the bit. That's what I do.
And Jonathan, let's play this scene. Here's the scene that Connor was giving us
yes.
Our play-by-play for.
All right, all right, all right, all the song and dance.
What does that smell?
Alice thinks it's bad luck to change her socks.
So we all have to suffer? Well, go stay. Get away. Get away. Outfielders, I want you to play deep a couple of steps. I don't want to give up anything long. Alice, the leadoff hitter gets on. They're going to bunt. Be ready. All right. Now, I'd like to lead you all in a little prayer. Huh? Come on.
Prayer? What?
Come on.
Oh, hi.
Yes, a little serious prayer. Come on, come on.
Yeah. Oh, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Okay, good. Lord, hallowed be thy name. May our feet be swift. May our bats be mighty. May our balls be plentiful. And Lord, I just like to thank you for that waitress in South Bend. You know who she is. She kept calling your name. And God, these are good girls, and they work hard. Just help them see it all the way through. Okay, that's it.
Amen.
Let's go.
Amen.
Okay.
Go!
A League of Their Own.
It's the 30th anniversary of that movie.
Absolutely. We were just talking about this the other morning. It's one of those movies, and I think that you and Chris have talked about this before. On regular cable, there's just a movie that you stop and just see a scene and then keep it moving, right? You know that there's commercials. You know something might be bleeped out, like The Godfather, which is awful on regular cable or satellite. But I just think that's one of the movies for me where it's like, hey, I think I know this scene. I'll watch and then keep it moving. That's one of them for me.
And are you familiar with the show Broad City on Comedy Central?
I am not.
Okay, so one of the writers from Broad City, one of the stars of Broad City, it has created and made a show now that's coming out soon for A League of Their Own. It's 8 episodes. It's going to be on Hulu, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So that comes out later this year.
I like that.
Friday, August 12th is the first show.
So Hulu has live sports and also good television shows.
There you go.
Told you, man. I've been watching The Old Man on Hulu. NFX, pretty good.
It's no, been good. I'm not going to. Nope.
No, it's fine. I'm talking about for me.
No. I was going to.
I like Jeff Bridges.
I was going to say, don't you get enough of that from 7 to 10, but then I didn't, and then I didn't say it, and then Whoa. I didn't want to, like, you know what I mean. I didn't, Whoa. You know. But I didn't say it. I was going to, but I didn't say it. So, I censored myself.
Please clarify, that was Abdallah
who said that? Chris Black.
It was Abdallah that said that.
I'm totally fine with it. I like Jeff Bridges because he's more entertaining as an old man than what I deal with.
It's more than just the dude, right? Like, he's not just the dude again.
How about that?
You stepped all over the joke there, Abdallah.
No, I'm moving right along. I wish I had a sponsor. I wish I had a partner today. Love you, buddy.
You know, folks,
what is going on here?
What I wanted to do is just enjoy the golden hammock of Carmen and Yurko, and I'm not allowed to do that. It's really something. I just want to just hang out with you guys, and now I know why I don't have a best friend at work.
What people don't know is that this is what they used to get from, you know, 7 to 10 at night.
Not from me. Not for me at all.
Oh, come on.
Me?
Well, us.
Oh, of course.
The royal we.
Oh, of course. Oh, yes, yes. A documentary that I will not be watching, and I think I have a good reason. It's Jay Hood on Carmen and Yurko.
Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko?
You don't have to miss anything.
Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Jay Hood. We switched shows today. Carmen and Yurko went on earlier. Like, where's Carmen? Where's Yurko? They were on between 7 and 10. Just go to the podcast. Check out what they had to say as they filled in for David Kaplan and I am in for the guys. But everything else is the same. Waddle and Sylvie at 2, Black and Abdallah at 6, Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8. All part of the mix right here on ESPN 1000. I have a sidebar for you, Adam. Brought to you by Aiken Law. 312-6 million. Sign my ball.
You can approach.
Derek Jeter. This documentary with Derek Jeter, right? Okay. So when you go to Baseball Reference, for those, I'm going to put it in perspective for you. Derek Jeter's numbers are the same as Craig Biggio or similar to Craig Biggio, Paul Molitor, Robin Yount, Roberto Alomar, Charlie Gehringer, Cal Ripken Jr., Joe Morgan, Pud Rodriguez, Johnny Damon, and Eddie Collins. All 10 of those people I just gave you are Hall of Famers. But here's the thing about fandom, and this is a conversation I've already had this week on Cap'n Jay Hood talking about, you know, how baseball needs to have energy. You want your favorite baseball player or the face of the league to not only just be playing baseball, but popping up in your Instagram feed, in your Instagram story. You want that person to be part of TMZ in a positive way. You want that person to be able to be part of the top five, top 10 athletes in the world. And baseball doesn't do that. Baseball, I don't know if it's this country or baseball, is afraid to push Ohtani as the face of the sport. I don't know what it is, but I just know that that guy is one of one, because he actually is doing something that Babe Ruth did not do. Babe Ruth did pitch and he did hit, but not at the same time, which is unbelievable, right? But in this society, well, it's Ohtani, so the guy's great. He's actually more interesting than Mike Trout is based on what he does on the field of play. But Derek Jeter, though, has always been exalted as one of the all-time greats, especially with him being the captain. They call him the Captain Derek Jeter. I'm not anti-Yankee. I want to make sure that's very clear, too. I'm not anti-Yankee. What I'm saying is that with Derek Jeter, when he comes to mind, what's the first thing you think of? Yankees and him falling into the third base seats and bloodying his face. Like my generation is different than yours, Adam, in which you might see Jeter differently. But a documentary for Derek Jeter, I've not watched it and probably won't. Only because Derek Jeter's never said anything interesting to me or has never been compelling to me to say, man, I got to find out what that guy thinks. And I'll give you one example, one quick example. And I saw this clip on Twitter. Do you think Alex Rodriguez should be in the Hall of Fame? It's really not up to me. I don't know. I mean, that's really a baseball call. Not sure. Really? You had an issue with Alex Rodriguez. It's pretty widely known that A-Rod and Jeter did not get along. Everything I read, everything I saw, but then asked about the Hall of Fame because Alex Rodriguez was a steroid cheat. I don't know. So why watch the documentary? When you see a documentary, don't you want the layers to be peeled back? Don't you want to find out more about someone? I don't know what they made of Derek Jeter outside of he who grew up to be the captain of the Yankees and he was a part of championship teams. Well, so it was Bernie Williams. Seriously, is there something I'm missing?
Well, to me, it's the fact that they tried to make this into a Last Dance almost with 7 episodes. Like, I'm not watching 7 hours of a Derek Jeter documentary.
It's not anti-New York either. About that. Nothing interesting about Derek Jeter that I would want to sit 6 or 7 episodes to watch.
Well, to go back to your first point, if Ohtani was a Yankee, he'd be the face of baseball. Easily. He would be. It's the fact that he's an angel. That's what it is.
Not a Dodger?
If he was a Dodger, maybe a little bit more. But if he was a Yankee. Yeah, I mean, I think it goes Yankees-Dodgers would be the ranking of how popular he would be.
No, it would be Yankee, Red Sox,
Dodgers,
Cubs, then maybe Dodgers.
Yeah.
Across the country, it would be Yankees.
Cardinal.
You know, okay, Jonathan.
Black socks and sandals.
Let me know, is this weird to think? I hated those Yankee teams, the Jeter years.
Yeah.
I hated the Yankees Red Sox being shoved down the country's throat.
Shout out to Carl Ravitch. Go ahead.
Every week, that's all we got on national TV. Mm-hmm. Yankees Red Sox and the games that take 7 hours to play because everyone's taking pitches and walk, right? It just took forever.
Everything's a 3-2 pitch.
But to be honest, when I saw the trailer for the Jeter documentary, I'm actually intrigued and there's something nostalgic that I enjoy about those Yankee years. It just felt like to me, baseball was bigger in the national conversation, and those Yankee championship runs, playoff runs, created big moments. And I saw the trailer and I thought, you know what? I'd watch that. I'm into that. And I'm not against it. Is that a weird take to have?
No.
A weird opinion or thought?
No. But the thing is, though, is that if I need Jeter highlights, I go to YouTube.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, but as far as if you're going to have a documentary, tell me something I don't know. Actually, the Brady, I didn't watch all the Brady documentary, but Brady was let you in. If nothing else, post New England, you see a fun Brady. It's not even for the cameras. The guy's just a goof, which is cool, though, because he seems more natural with his family, with Gronk, with his fan. He's willing to do stuff. He's willing to put himself out there, in which he didn't do that with the Patriots.
He also just doesn't seem very interesting.
Who?
Jeter.
I don't think so either. So someone asks, he's in a line getting a coffee and a bagel. I don't know. And someone asks, like, hey, you know what? Hey, Jeets, just want you to know, I gave my ex-girlfriend a basket too. And he's like, where'd you get that from? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And he was like so standoffish about it, right? It's like, so if for those that don't know, there was this, I don't know if it's a true story or not, the idea that Jeter, he used to date a lot of beautiful women in Hollywood. And the story was that he would give a gift basket after sex or after a relationship. After deal breakers. I'm not sure.
Some good old fashioned smashing smash on the basket. Avocados.
He used to give him a smash basket.
I think that's the case.
It's a smash basket.
Not to be confused with a smash burger.
Love smash burger.
Yeah, put your beak right in there to eat the fries. Yeah. Won't you, Adam?
I will. Listen, content is king, man. Yeah.
No hands.
Content is king,
I'm not hating on the content. I enjoyed it.
Content I'll hate on, though. This Jeter content, I will.
He's also
available, right? Yeah. Like, Jordan's not available.
True.
No one interviews Jordan. He does very few things. He's seen in public not very seldomly unless he's on the sideline of poorly running a basketball team. But Jeter has been available. He's been out there. So to me, like, okay, you want to do a documentary on A-Rod and, like, A-Rod's going to open up and be like, all right, here's what happened. I'll watch that.
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't know. He might be the one superstar that I care the least about.
If it's highlights, Black, I'll watch the highlights. I just want him to say something, and not anything salacious or harsh. I just want him to say something interesting. That's all. I get it from Brady. As much as we are let in on Brady, but with Derek Jeter, it's like, you know, because he looks the part, because he was named the captain or called the captain, Mr. November with the Yankees. Again. You believe what you want to believe. It's not an anti-Yankees thought. It's just that with Jeter, he's never said anything where I thought, my God, that's pretty compelling.
So what's the controversy? It was he dates supermodels, and then he and A-Rod didn't get along. Outside of that, you know, the Jordan years had a lot of drama off the court, and that's what made those documentaries so amazing. Like, what's the drama with the Jeter story outside of A-Rod signing with the Yankees, and then they were jostling for position on who was the more important Yankee? Is that what it is?
Who's going to play short? Who's going to play third?
Right.
That, like, kind of thing.
And the fact that he dated almost every single Victoria's Secret model.
And Mariah Carey.
Right? Like,
I think. Was it Mariah Carey? Was she the DH in that spot? Like, she got all, I got to get nine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in this day and age, don't you move them up in the order, right? So you'd batter second.
Got to get the most.
Right? Like, isn't that what you do with... you bat your best player second.
So she was the Aaron Judge in that spot?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
It's like, the long stick?
I think that's fair
Jessica
to say.
Alba, Jessica Biel, Adriana Lima, Scarlett Johansson, Vanessa Minnillo, Hannah Davis, Minka Kelly, Tyra Banks, Jordana Brewster, and Mariah Carey.
That's a lineup.
That's
a hell of a lineup.
It's actually put out at Sports Nation, made the graphic a while ago.
It looks like a Sports Center graphic with the diamond.
The diamond.
Who's playing in center?
Jessica Alba.
Jessica Alba, yeah.
Jessica Alba in center.
Star.
Tyra Banks is your DH.
That's so wrong. That's so wrong. But I understand.
Wow.
She gives you a good four at bats.
Now, if the trailer is this, right? If the trailer is, what if I told you? And it's just pictures of all of them sitting down in front of a camera.
Each of them having stories.
Like, one of them's adjusting the microphone.
Yes.
And like, then I'm like, okay, yes. Now I'm watching.
Who's the catcher?
Minka Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I love the idea that Tyra Banks is like Edgar Martinez. She's Harold. She's Harold Baines. She's only good for four bets. She can't. She's got bad knees because of all her time on the runway. She can't. She can't be able to play the field anymore. So she's just there for a good four at bats and some 30 home runs and 110 RBIs.
Yeah, but Jessica Alba, she'll cover some ground out there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's a star.
Yeah.
Absolutely. She's Mookie Betts, for God's sakes. It's tremendous. That's so funny. I love Tyra being the DH in that spot. That's so funny. Who's on the hot corner, by the way, at third? Just can you open up that tab again? Who's
I believe it was me. It just went away, I think, because it gave me an ad. It's like, you need to pay to see the rest of this. It's Vanessa Minnillo is at third.
Yes, the hot corner.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson at short. Adriana Lima at second. Jordana Brewster at first. Minky Kelly, your catcher. Mariah Carey in left. Jessica Alba in center. Jessica Biel in right. And Hannah Davis handling the pitching for the night.
And Hannah Davis handling the pitching. I love it. The lady on the street has the final word, brought to you by Wendy's.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word
on Carmen and Yurko.
There's something I never see during the morning. Lady walking by, lady walking by, sucking her thumb. She had to be about 30.
I saw that too. I was like, "What? What is she?"
Let's go ahead to the phone lines. What are you saying there? As we go
Well, no, it's just like, don't you grow out of that at some point?